We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Popped up. Turner in foul ground at third. Has room for the second out. Sorry.
Sorry.
Reddick drops an F-bomb. The announcer right away. Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
It's going to happen, guys. I think it'll happen more. The NHL is delaying the games. Like, they're really panicking. They're, like, fearful. Maybe it's a Canadian thing. I don't know. They're fearful that if the F-bombs start getting out there, that people are going to turn the game off.
Sorry.
You guys, I think they're going to be more intrigued to watch more.
I know. The kids.
Yeah, well, John, about you, but next generation.
I know your son.
How about tonight, Glenn? You got the NBA back in meaningful basketball. 6:30 and 9 o'clock tilts, and the 9 o'clock is the ultimate trash talkathon between LeBron versus Kawhi, Clips and Lakers. You think
Warning,
we're going to get
content may not be appropriate for young children.
Talking. Sorry. It's interesting, by the way, that LeBron.
Sorry.
LeBron's like one of the only NBA players who's actually going to have his name on the back of his uniform. Isn't that interesting? That was hard to predict, wasn't it? A guy that's so self-centered like
that.
No,
he cares about everybody.
China? Maybe not about China. not big on China.
Nobody does, apparently.
There's a big report out there that the whole NBA academy that they had out there working with kids, apparently the coaches are abusing the children. Apparently not giving them an education, and it was pointed out in the piece, is probably training them to become taxi drivers when they're done with this little NBA Academy thing. So it was really ripping the NBA for being so hypocritical about, you know, human rights and stuff like that. But he's going to wear his name on the back of his jersey. I think Anthony Davis is too, right? He's another one. Wow, that's interesting, both of those guys. So the Celtics start tomorrow. They start as the number three seed in the East, if you forgot. 9.5 games out. They're 3 games out of the number two seed. In 8 games, can they catch the Toronto Raptors with the number two seed?
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, I don't think so, because I don't think you really, you know, again, this is going to be all about managing minutes, if you ask me, with Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
You know, this is all going to be about the buildup. In my opinion. So, for at least I think it should be. So, I think this should, you know, be a build up. If you drop a couple early on, so be it. But I don't think that's something that you go into camp saying that's our number one goal. What do they have? 8 games? 8 of these?
Eight games. Mm-hmm.
Let's see where you are in 5. Let's see where you are with, after about 5 of them, right?
You go 4-1, Toronto goes 3-2, I mean, maybe you're a game behind them. Like,
you
do you push
looking
it?
At it.
You run the risk of that knee?
Well, I'm just saying you don't have to push it, but I mean, just maybe the whole attitude sort of changes a little bit.
What you doing? I also think the Raptors are much better than what I thought they were. Maybe Nick Nurse is a pretty good coach after all.
Yeah.
Because that is a pretty good record, guys, at 46-18.
Yeah.
And they did it without an MVP candidate player. Okay, took them right off the roster. There you go. Go ahead. Fend for yourself. So they're 3 games behind the Raptors. I don't think they can catch them. They're 3 games ahead, 2.5, actually.
Well,
right?
Here you go, Glenn. They play Toronto, I believe, their 5th game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next Friday at 9 o'clock.
Let's see what that looks like.
Yeah. We'll know in a week, actually, because
it's
Friday.
Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're 2 back or if you're 1 back, you know, I mean, that's – I just don't think that should be your goal going into this. It should be ramping things up,
yeah,
getting healthy, staying healthy, and getting ready for the playoffs.
So I think people are fearful, Lou, of them being in the number three seed because you match up in the first round of the playoffs with the Philadelphia 76ers, and they've had great success against the Celtics. But I'm not sure if Philly stays in the number six spot.
No, they're so tied with Indiana.
Tied with Indiana right now. Indiana has the tiebreaker there. But you're right, they tied. So if they're tied, Indiana would get the higher seed. But Sabonis is out now, right? So if he's out, he's a big part of what the Pacers do. So I could see the Sixers, though who the hell knows? I mean, you talk to one person, and they tell you that they think the Sixers have a chance to get to the NBA Finals. You talk to somebody else, and they think the Sixers are going to be a disaster in this thing. So no in-between with the Sixers. You either think they're going to be really good in this little tournament, or they're really going to suck. But I could see the Celtics ending up with Indiana in the first round. That would be a much better first round. So how deep can the Celtics go in this thing?
I say they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not worried about whether they get the three seed and have to deal with the Sixers, who all of a sudden now are getting all this heat as the team that could upset the apple cart and make a surprise run in the East. You know, Embiid, who knows what you're going to get out of him. He came back in quarantine shape. Simmons is wildly unpredictable. Average Al the buffet. Is he going to be worth the contract, or is he going to phone it in? I'm not worried about them. I'm certainly not worried about if the Celtics get the two seed and then have to take on Indiana, or if they have to play Brooklyn, Glenn, or whatever. I think the Celtics, if you keep this core four together and healthy, so long as Hayward doesn't leave for a long time and isn't prohibited from returning to the bubble, I think they can make a run and go straight to the Bucks, and I think they can give them hell in the finals.
I think they should get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. I think they should. Anything less than that, I think, would be a disappointment. And obviously Kemba Walker plays a role in that thing, but still, they should be in the Eastern Conference Finals. And if you don't get there, then something went wrong somewhere. Because I think they should beat Toronto. And you said the record is impressive. I get it. But I think this team, you know, we'll see. Jason Tatum, you know, it's, you know, playoff time. Now it's going to be his first playoffs where he's actually the guy. You know, and I think that'll be an interesting look to see what that looks like. Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and, you know, Kemba Walker. No, I think this team should get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
So they go as far as the Milwaukee Bucks, in essence, right? They go as far as the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I don't think they can beat Milwaukee.
I don't either. See, I think Milwaukee, people underestimate how good they were before we stopped playing. 53-12. Defensively, they were unbelievable. And they have a guy that you just don't have answers for. He was only playing 30 minutes a night. And he was averaging 30 points and, I think, 14.5 rebounds.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
the numbers
six assists, too, by the way.
Right. with 30 minutes. So think about this. He's going to play more than 30 minutes once you get into the playoffs.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Right. So he's probably going to play 34 or 35 unless they're blowing people out, Lou. And part of the reason he's only playing 30 is they're blowing people out. But I think defensively, they are as good as any team in the league defensively. And they have an unstoppable guy. And I think that's the key in the NBA. Unfortunately, the Celtics have nobody who can stop
them. I agree. And the unknown really is like the conditioning of these guys coming out of this camp, you know, and a different playoff format than years past. You know, because, hell, when you play 38 minutes and you know you don't have a game for three nights later, maybe even four on occasion, whatever, you get 2 days in between or 3 days in between, it's easy to play 38 minutes a game, right? But when you're playing every other night and all this layoff, I don't know, physically, you know, can these guys, these teams, you know, whether it's Giannis, whether it's LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kawhi, that they're relying on that one player, I know the Lakers have two, but that one superstar to play 38 minutes and dominate, can they give you those sort of minutes given the new format? I think that'd be tough.
I think that's an interesting question because if they lay out the playoffs, the NBA goes from game two to game three, and they'll put 5 days off in between, which makes no sense at all, but they've always done it to reel out TNT and ESPN and whomever they're sending the games to. If we don't have that because they're on a tight schedule and they've got to get this thing done with and they're going every other night, I would say that is a detriment for somebody like LeBron, wouldn't you say?
So it was,
age?
Well, age has to be, but at the same time, don't we all agree that this is what LeBron sees as his best path, his clearest path to getting that one other championship that he feels is eluding him, that's preventing him from being included in the conversation with Jordan? So that's why he was so gung-ho about the restart. That's why he's grinding. That's why he's not going to opt out. I mean, he's full throttle. He's probably the biggest hardo about this out of anybody you'd say that is back in the NBA bubble.
Yeah, he should be. And he's already lost two players in Rondo and Avery Bradley. I mean, they're depending now on Alex Caruso playing big numbers, playing a lot of minutes right now. So, but yeah, I think he really wanted to come back. He was certainly, when people were opposed to coming back, you never heard a negative word about him not coming. He wanted to come back.
So what do you think, Glenn? Eastern Conference?
I think they get to the East. They get to Milwaukee, and they can't beat Milwaukee. So if they get Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Final, they can get that far. Then it's Milwaukee. They can't get beyond them. Can they beat Toronto? I think Toronto's going to be more difficult than people think, Lou. I really do. I think that's a very difficult series for the Celtics. But all those other teams, I'm not crazy about Philadelphia. Some people are. Apparently, they're changing up their entire lineup. Ben Simmons is now a power forward. Your buddy Al is coming off the bench now as the backup for Joel Embiid. So when Embiid needs a rest, you get Al out there, right? Yeah.
I mean, just role model, you know, really. Role player, role model, good human being. All the little things. He accepts whatever role you need.
Oh, he's average now.
He's the glue.
Isn't it amazing, though, that he was so good? Everybody loved him here. And in Philadelphia, they're sitting there going, what a waste of money. What the hell were we thinking? He just doesn't fit into anything that they're doing. I think a lot of it was here. They let the offense run through him. They really did. And they let him be a vital part of it. Down there, they don't allow that to happen. And he doesn't know what to do.
Go Celtics!
That a boy.
And Glenn, do we
heard from his sister lately, Lou?
Oh yeah, how's your relationship with Anna?
No, I don't know. She's just left my life.
She must hate Philadelphia now.
We'll be bringing some Apothic red wine.
Just walked out the door.
She must hate Philadelphia because they've churned on Al. They're looking at Al saying he's just been a bust for it. And so I would say I'll take the Lakers and the Bucks in the NBA final.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go Clippers Bucks. Okay. I feel like we haven't seen the best of Kawhi. I think that Kawhi PG-13 combo is deadly, and I know it's every bit as good. Yeah, some would say obviously LeBron, even though he's aged, and Anthony Davis is dynamite and too tough to beat. But I think you got more depth on the Clippers. I think Kawhi can do absolutely anything, and him and Paul George on their best night could put up more points than I think any other combination in the NBA, let alone the West. And I think Clippers Bucks would be an absolute dynamite finals. Obviously, I'd love to see the Celtics there, but between Kemba's knee and the inability to put any body against Giannis, I just can't see the Celtics getting.
That's the problem with the NBA. You look at the NHL, and a lot of people think that the Bruins are getting screwed here because of the layoff, where they were playing so well. The Flyers were playing great before they stopped playing, and so maybe they're out of sync or whatever. And then they have to go into the stupid little seeding tournament. When you look at the NBA, I can't think of. I won't say shocked. I'll be surprised if any other team other than the Milwaukee Bucks represents the East. And I do think the Celtics are going to be fun and interesting in this tournament. I just don't think they can beat the Bucks. In the West, I can't think of any other team other than the Lakers and the Clippers that could represent the West.
No. I know people love in Houston, right?
Okay. Yep.
Let's see, you have to
play some defense. Let's see how that works.
The Final Four is right. Is the two LA teams, Milwaukee and somebody.
Yes, Celtics.
And if it's anybody other than that, then you'd be surprised. And we start talking about somewhat of a fluky year. If those three aren't in it, it would be weird. That's the three teams, and you find out who's the other team. Is it going to be Boston, Philly, Toronto? Who's it going to be?
And by the way, the West is loaded. I look at the West versus the East. The Nuggets are a really good team. Mm-hmm. Jazz, really good team. Mm-hmm. OKC, Houston, we talked about Houston. How about Dallas? Dallas, a really good team.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, Dallas is one of those teams that could really make it ugly, let's say, for the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs. Memphis, good team.
Yeah. Well, Glenn, Dallas is going to have to win every game, though, like 127 to 123.
Yeah.
That's the same way the Rockets would have to win,
yes.
too.
A lot of that is Porzingis and how well he plays, because Doncic is going to be terrific. That kid is unbelievable.
Kid's a machine. He's so fluid, it's ridiculous. Glenn, there was this thing I wanted to run by you real quick on Bleacher Report that just popped up. They ranked every NBA trio in the bubble, like the big three for every team. And they gave the edge over the Lakers to the Clippers, saying that the combo of George, Kawhi Leonard, and Montrezl Harrell is a better combo now than Green, James, and Davis, or any other big three that each team, even over the Bucks. Now, what do you think? Do you think that that's the best big three of all the teams remaining?
Well, I would say number one is debatable. Number mm-hmm. two goes into the Lakers category, and number three absolutely goes into the Clippers. Right?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say so. See, that's why I think they're gonna don't sleep on the Clippers. Don't just because the the Lakers look so good in the regular season, LeBron is so motivated. It's a deadly trio,
and they have a great player. And again, great players are what end up doing it for you. You have one of those great players, and you're going to win. But it's good. We're going to get sports now. How long it lasts, we'll see. All right, we'll see. Hopefully, it works in the bubble. And Lou Williams has taught everybody in the league a lesson. Don't go to the strip joints. Don't go for the fried, the chicken wings. Don't do any of this stuff.
Lou put a lot of people at risk.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but you've never had a wing named after you, Lou.
No, I know. Shannon Sharp just dropping Lou's left and right. There's so many drops in those. Drops. In that, like, 2 minutes he talked. Lou's being irresponsible. Lou made
a mistake. Lou, lemon pepper barbecue. Yeah,
Lou's not doing good.
Lemon pepper barbecue.
Lou's wrong.
And he knows he was wrong.
Yes,
there were guys that just as talented as Lou, but maybe didn't make the sacrifices.
I get it, Shannon. I know. I got a lot of talent over here. I'm with you, buddy.
Hey, do you remember we were talking about the Sixers a while back, and to me, I just don't see the Sixers as being a threat in all of this. But Brian Scalabrine is all over the Sixers. He is fearful that they are the team that he's the most concerned about.
They're how they're supposed to be at home. They are a disaster on the road. Ben Simmons, as great of a player as he is, people want to compare him to Magic Johnson. Look at the way that he could pass and he goes to the basket. He cannot manage a game. He can't manage a game on the road. Point guards need to manage games. In this environment, it's easy for Brett Brown to manage the game from the sideline. That's why I think they're a dangerous team. I don't think that managing a game in this environment is going to be as important as it was when you're on the road in Milwaukee or on the road in Boston where everyone's on you and you lose your, you know what, for just a little bit, and that causes you to lose that game.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I'm not totally buying it. It's an interesting point. I think the fact that the Sixers had such an unbelievable home record and just an awful road record, and good teams can't do this. So they were 29-2 at home. That's the best record in the league. They were 10-24 in the road. Now, Scal thinks it's because the coach is able to coach a lot better because you don't have all the sounds and everything else. I think it's because players play with emotion. And maybe they're not focused exactly on what they need to do. And so in home games, the home crowd is getting them all, whipped up into a frenzy, and they're into it, especially Joel Embiid, Simmons.
What do you think? A team is closer to who they really are. Is it in a home game or a road game?
Yeah, it's an interesting
because
point.
If Scal, that was part of it as well. He feels like a team is closer to who they are at home. Because maybe when you go on the road and the crowd's not on your side, you tighten up or whatever. But you're at home, you're relaxed, and you go out and you play with confidence. And he sort of looked at Orlando and said, well, there's no fans to get on you. So playing in Orlando would be more like a home game. You just relax and play your game. And that's why he felt Philadelphia was very dangerous.
No, I think he brings up an interesting point. I try to debate it and argue it, but I think just the opposite. I think they play on emotion, and I think without having the emotion in the building, and you've already seen it over at Fenway Park, there's no emotion in the building. So in the ballpark, so players have to muster it up themselves. I'm not sure Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, those guys can actually do it. I think that is this is the one team. I think that people are either for or they're totally against. This was Greg Dickerson on with Mutt back in February. Said he'd rather, as the Celtics, he'd rather face the Bucks than the Sixers.
I look at Milwaukee, and yeah, they got maybe the greatest player on the planet in Antetokounmpo, but I think that they're vulnerable. I think that they can be beaten in the playoffs.
I don't know. Their vulnerability to me is not the players. It's the coach.
Does Free Milwaukee agent? Scare you?
Yes. They're very, very good.
They're very,
yes.
very good. But
yes.
I would rather play Milwaukee in the playoffs than Philadelphia. Oh, Philadelphia's a bad matchup.
I love Dickerson, and he knows basketball. I can't believe he said that.
Couldn't disagree more. Yeah. Love Dickerson, too. Didn't say his abbreviated name with that. I think Philly is a great guy, knows his ball, but come on, Philly's going to fall flat in their face.
You're the one that kept him off the air all these months.
I understand that Philly's got some issues, right? Yeah. But as far as talent, it's a bad matchup. There's no question about it. Like, you can get torn up. I mean, if Joel Embiid does show up, you know, you got Average Al coming off the bench, doing the course the little thing, setting picks like a son of a bitch.
He can't help himself.
So, you know, but I think Embiid's a bad matchup. You don't have anybody. And I don't think that's gone away, you know, interior defense.
No,
so
that's your weakness. That's your weakness. So Philly can easily match up with Philadelphia. That's not a problem with your bigs. You got Daniel Tice out there, you know. I don't know. Robert Williams, has he gotten better here in the last 3 months with no basketball? I don't know. We're going to find out. You might need him a little bit, but... You're right. You don't have a big to go against Joel Embiid. And Embiid, by the way, is an enigma because one night you look at him and you say, oh, my God, top five player. This guy is so dominant. He can take over a game. He's even making threes now. And then you watch him in the next game, and Charles Barkley and Shaq are just ripping the crap out of him because he's walking up and down the court. And he's one of those guys, I think, and that's why I think they're 29-2 at home. Is because he plays with the crowd the whole game. He's constantly urging the crowd to root him on even more so after he makes a dunk or anything. I just think he's the reason that they're 29-2 at home. And on the road, he looks at it and says, I don't care. I mean, we'll see how this whole thing plays out. It'll be and it's going to be quick, too. This is what I like about it. It's going to be very different for all of us, isn't it? The NBA and the NHL. You almost forget that there was a season. It's like it was last year.
Well, I think you can say it with everything, right?
Yeah. Well, like I think last year.
Yeah, but sure you can say it about hockey as well.
Yeah, I think it's a little skewed, Glenn, by the fact that like the first one of the four major sports to make it back, no disrespect, MLS and MLL, the first of the four major sports to come back, baseball, comes back with this abbreviated season. They're not restarting. They're just flat out starting. Whereas the other ones have to do like a little ramp up to get them back into game speed. So it sort of throws off your perspective. But these games count right from the get-go. It's a sprint, and then we're in the middle of the playoffs.
People might enjoy it, though, for the NBA when everything is kind of predetermined. At the beginning of the year, did we not say Milwaukee would be the best in the East and it would be the Lakers and the Clippers in the West? So here we are. Same thing. So maybe next year we should just have 8 games to ramp up and then just get the playoffs, and then, you know, you can have fans seat them or players seat them. Maybe we should do it that way. Yeah. It's quick, right? You don't need the
whatever
whole season. Hey, you don't need the whole season.
I'll take a 50-game NBA season any day.
A 50-game NBA season?
Yeah. Remember when they shortened it and they would start on Christmas Day? I'd be all for that.
Listen, I hate to say it, but we have to hope that we get to the point that next year all of these leagues have, like, real seasons, don't we? And the funny thing is, if baseball can get through this thing, they really have a nice setup on the calendar because they don't have to begin again until April with games. So they may be able to get the vaccine out there and they may have plenty of time. What is the NBA and the NHL going to do? They're going to have this quick little season here with all of these playoffs. And then 2 months later, they're going to have to start up all over again.
They're
going
to have a bubble in December. They're going to take a couple breaks from Orlando. We're going to send you all back down there in December until we get a vaccine. Is that really what they're going to do?
I mean,
right now, you should be thinking about it behind the scenes, but it's really more important just to get this season going, to finish this thing out, you know, and once you kind of get into it a little bit, the first week's going to be somewhat chaotic. These games are going to be a little chaotic, but once you get into the playoffs, you need to have a little subcommittee thinking about what in Christ you're going to do in December.
Right.
Right?
Yes. So baseball actually has an advantage, Lou. If they can get through this season, they have plenty of time to be able to, things will calm down. First of all, we'll be past an election. Second of all, we probably will have at least one, if not two or three different vaccines out there. And
maybe one will work.
And maybe one that'll work.
And maybe the third will help us grow. The other one will help us grow forearms.
Well, Christian is fearful, by the way, that what's going to happen is that if he takes it, he's going to grow another ear or something. He's very concerned about that. All right, 617-779-7937. This is Rocco in Saugus. Hey, Rocco.
Hey, Uncle Louie, what's up, my man?
How you doing, Rocco?
How you been?
Good, pal.
I missed you, brother. I missed you, man.
I'm here for you, man. I miss you, too. Where the hell you been?
I'm working, my man. I'm working. But listen, I want to jump on the basketball conversation you guys were talking about. Yeah. My team, for me, actually, I'm really excited. I love basketball, so I'm excited today. But my team is a Rocket. And the reason why I say the Rockets, man, they've been knocking on the door, you know, the last couple of years. They've been fighting against the Warriors. I mean, I know Chris Paul, I think, like 2 years ago, he got hurt, and they took him to Game 7 against the Warriors. So they had a chance.
What happened in that? What happened in that game? What happened? Let me remember. James Harden. He didn't show up. Okay.
All right, Game 7 against the Warriors, a loaded Warriors team. All right. So you throw that in my face? Yeah. All right, he was out, but he still took him to Game 7 when everybody thought they were going to get swept.
What happened to
the Warriors that year?
Eric Gordon, I saw him get carried off the court the other day. Is that serious or just rolled his ankle?
He sprained his ankle. The X-ray results were negative.
So nothing, no high ankle, nothing? Just no, sprained
ankle. I think there's a couple weeks. Based on how he got carried off.
Yeah.
I honestly think the more loading and the more tested than the Lakers or the Clippers, man, because that core team has actually been there, and you know they got Westbrook. That's my thoughts, guys. All right, Uncle Louie, see you, bro.
All right, Rocco.
If they hit a million threes, I would agree. Houston can steal a couple games. And I think that's what happens to Houston, that they stay in it. Harden, they've got guys that can score, obviously, Westbrook and Harden. And so they stay in games because they take like 45 three-pointers every game. And if they're making them, well, they're going to beat you. And if they don't, then they're in trouble. I think once you get into seven-game series, I think that's where you get into trouble. You just can't do that every night.
Yeah.
You can't shoot 45% from threes.
They could steal a series.
Steal a series.
Yeah.
I would give you that. Yeah. Jim's in Rhode Island. Next up on EEI. Jim?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Jim.
This is going to be much more of a Lou Maloney-centered thing, so sorry, Glenn and Fitzy.
Lou's part of the show here.
So, Lou, just want to just mention Lou Swetchheimer here for a minute. I'm down in Rhode Island. I worked in media for many years and went up to McCoy. And Lou was such a – this is – sorry, it's a little bit of an emotional call. Lou was such an important part of building a Pawtucket Red Sox team and working with young players like yourself and others back through so many years. And now that the team has moved to Worcester and the Woo Sox are going to have a great franchise. But, you know, Lou and Ben and Mike built a franchise and created something. And I just hope that – I'm speaking to Lou. I mean, I know you feel very strongly about Lou Swetchheimer and the sudden loss. I just hope that for all of Red Sox Nation, Rhode Island, and New England, we can give Lou a little tip of the cap here.
I would agree, Jim. I think a lot of people don't know Lou and didn't know him very well. I love my time being around that man. I think of the Pawtucket Red Sox. I think of Ben Mondor. I think of Lou. I think of Mike Tamboro. And I got that news actually last night when I was walking out of this this office, and it kind of hit me a little bit because he was a good guy. Listen, I spent a lot of time down there. He knew every time I saw him, I didn't like to see him, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he was just
like,
listen, I know you don't like seeing me, but I love seeing you, you know, and it was just, and I did. I love seeing that guy. I will miss him. He was a great man. I know he loved the Pawtucket Red Sox. I know he loved baseball, and he tried to treat every player that showed up down there like one of his own. He was a very special man, and I think a lot of people that knew him miss him dearly.
And for people that did not hear it, he passed away yesterday of COVID-19.
62 years old.
Right. He was owner of the AAA franchise for the Miami Marlins. And you're right, him and Mike, I remember him. He was awesome down there. And Ben Mondor was one of the all-time great characters we did. I can't tell you how many times we'd go down there once a year and do the show down there, and we'd spend time with all of those guys, and they were always great. And Ben would come up with all of these bizarre stories about guys like you, Lou, and others who played in the minor league who, you know, eventually became stars in the big leagues. So,
me?
Big loss.
Like me?
No, I didn't mean you, but I was
you
trying
said
to make
stars.
You, I was trying to make you feel good.
Oh, okay.
I apologize. We're talking about Dustin Pedroia. We're talking about
Just checking.
Yeah. All right. 617-779-7937, our phone number here on OMF. Did Tommy Curran get a little carried away with a column? Because he got some pushback from a Patriots player. We get into it with more Fitzy today in for Fourier on OMF.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On Twitter,
at Lou Merlone.
I obviously agree with Lou.
But what? I don't know what the hell I even said.
Back to OMF.
On WEEI.
Call all cars. Call all cars. Be on the lookout for a tall, light-skinned brother with dimples. Wearing a black Kangol sweatshirt, gold chain, and sneakers.
Back here with OMF. Fitzy's in today for the big fellas. The big fellas off for a long weekend. Yeah, be back on Monday.
Enjoying himself.
Long weekend. I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. Though you noticed he's already been texting us. As you told him, go dig into the tequila. Do something constructive.
Dude, go back in the boat and take some tequila. Stop texting the show.
So if you haven't heard, there are six New England Patriots that have opted out. Who was that sixth guy again, Lou, the guard?
It doesn't matter. There's only five.
Okay, five. Okay,
I don't
five.
Consider. Right. Was he even like on the...
I had actually never even heard of him.
53 or 51 guys?
I barely know the names of the other swing tackle. I know the name of the guy that's probably going to take Cannon's spot, Yanni Cajuste. And it's Illuminor and Cunningham, the two guys they picked up last year that are going to... Yeah. And then there's Onwenu, the kid they drafted from Michigan. I had never heard of this guy.
Go ahead.
Tani Katayan.
No.
Terrell Cannell.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
okay, it's good. He's gone. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but
we
do have to worry. His name is Dave Gonski.
But we do have to worry about the loss of Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, and I guess Marcus Cannon. Though Cannon was hurt last year, so, you know, and who knows there. So Tommy Curran decides he's going to write this whole piece. And we actually threw this out there, and we kind of threw it out there because it didn't make an awful lot of sense, but we wanted to throw it out there anyway. Did these guys leave because Tom Brady left? Well, Tommy Curran put a column together and actually went on radio and on TV, and he goes on the Dan Patrick Show and says he's convinced that if Tom Brady was here, fewer of these players would have left.
If Brady was still the quarterback there, do you think these players would be opting out?
I asked the same question yesterday. No, I don't. I don't think that would happen. Look, Marcus Cannon is a cancer survivor. I think that that is on its own planet.
Yeah.
And Hightower and Chung both have newborns or soon to have newborns. But I think when these players look at it, they're like, I've made over $30 million. I have three rings. I'm over 30 years old. This seems like it's going to be a bit of a cluster. We're going to sit there in our cars and wait to get into the facility to have our nose swabbed one by one every day. Then after the nose swab, we have to go through this process of getting into the locker room, then into the training room, then onto the practice field for a season that might not happen. And I think that a lot of those players are like, do I want to do that to go in there and go 7-9 with Jarrett Stidham or Cam Newton or whatever we're trying to do? If Brady was there though, Dan, I don't think 7-9 would be in the conversation. So no, I don't think that there would be this many players opting out because they would be championship caliber.
So what he said, I asked this question yesterday, was he asking it of players or was he just asking himself? Because he wrote it and he seemed to write that he thinks that players would have stayed if Tom Brady was still here. I don't buy it.
No, I don't buy it either. I mean, he hit on a couple of those things. I really think this had, first off, a lot of these guys had certain things back at the house, whether it's pre-existing, right? Marcus Cannon dealing with, you know, cancer in the past. You got all these other kids, all these other guys in the team with newborn kids, and they just weren't comfortable with it. More importantly, the biggest reason is that these guys are veterans on this team. They've made some money. They've won Super Bowls. And quite frankly, a lot of them might be, maybe, especially like Hightower, thought maybe this might have been his last year, which I guess surprises me a little in that he would just walk away from maybe one last paycheck. But anyways... But, you know, towards the end of their career, there's rumors of Chung possibly thinking of retiring. Of course, he signs an extension. But still, they had just accomplished so much. And I think that went into the decision-making to go with what's going on in their home. If Brady was here, I don't think any of them would be playing. I think they always would still opt out.
100%. I think, you know, Tom Curran, nobody knows as much about the Patriots or is as plugged into the scene in Foxborough than Tom E. Curran. Be that as it may, as Tom often likes to say,
let's rip him.
That's an absurd take, Tommy. Your podcast is great. I like the columns. You deliver the goods on Dalen Keefe, but this is nonsense. And Glenn, he was taken to task immediately for it by someone who did opt out, which just made me so happy that these guys like didn't opt out immediately and then just say, well, my off season continues and I'm just going to go, you know, up to Winnipesaukee. Chung tearing into him and calling him an idiot afterwards made me so happy, because to hear it from the player's perspective, it was as good as hearing the other day when players said that it was idiotic to think Bill Belichick would ever tank for Trevor Lawrence. Exactly. Because he is built on compete. Right. And these guys, they're competitive. They're not complacent just because they have $20 million in the bank and a couple of rings. They're sizing up their human worth. Is it worth it to be out there now considering what they've accomplished versus being able to protect their safety and the health of their family? Hell no.
So Patrick Chung came right back at Curran on Twitter. Damn, Mr. Curran. I say this with love. You sound like an idiot.
For you, Joe.
Say this with love. You sound like an idiot. Doesn't hurt the friendship. You're not in the doghouse, but don't let your job corrupt your brain, man. You know better than that. So Curran apologized. He came back and said, I'm sorry, Patrick. Offense was not intended. Reflecting more, I see why it was offensive to you. Spitballing theories about a person's personal and private decision and why it may have been different is insensitive to the situation. I apologize.
Good for Chung. Good for Chung.
Yeah, and listen, they got guys opting out, but I do think everybody right now, and I think football, you're going to see more. What the deadline is, what, Monday? Maybe it's a move Tuesday, they're not quite sure, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, movable.
I think you're going to see numbers, you know, in football. More people opting out, maybe even over the weekend. You know, it's just, there's more people involved. You know, there's 80 people that right now in camp. So just numbers alone, you're going to see it more. Maybe, you know, maybe the percentages will be the same as baseball, but I think it'll be more, because you look at these guys and you say, you know, these are professional athletes. These guys, you know, these guys are healthy, but you're already finding out stuff at home is the reason why they want to get out. You know, maybe it's like the lack of guaranteed contracts where it's just like, man, I don't even know. To be honest with you, I got to get 80% of the snaps according to my deal to even to make this money. Mm-hmm. You know, and so you start looking and saying, what is my contract really? Is it really this guaranteed? I got to play 80% of the snaps. I don't know what happens if the season gets cut short. I'm out of here. Or some of these offensive linemen that just sit there and say, man, I'm 385 pounds. I'm not exactly healthy.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this list of guys that opted out. I'm wondering which one of them would have stayed for Tom Brady. So Dante Hightower is walking away from close to $9 million, $8.8 million. Do you think that was probably more important for him and his family and his future than playing again on the same team with Tom Brady? I mean, I don't understand why he would have opted out, lost the $9 million, but if Tom Brady was still here, he would have done it. None of this makes any sense. Chung was already thinking of retiring, was he not? And then they redid his deal. So none of it makes any sense. I don't know where Tom is coming from any of this. And again, I said, as I said earlier in the program, you know, Tom has been aligned with Brady. It's been a big part, and he's been done an unbelievable job reporting on the story, but it might be that he's a little closer to it and thinks that it might have a bigger impact on what's going on with his team. And by the way, if everybody loves Cam Newton so much, why aren't all these guys staying around figuring, I want to play with Cam Newton?
But here's the good news. The good news is that Matthew Slater is not opting out. Right?
Hey, yeah. Listen, for a guy like me who's a special teams hardo, that's the best news you could have given me. Well, hey, Glenn, he scored as many touchdowns. He scored more touchdowns last year than Matt Lacoste, for God's sakes.
Well, that's not saying an awful lot. But
well, no, but please. Obviously he's a great ball. He's a player. He's a locker room leader, moral compass for the team, special teams ace. You can't deny the fact that Matthew Slater may one day get gold jacket and bronze bus consideration in Canton. But Matthew Slater, family man, he too has young children at home, deciding not to opt out and stay in when you've got potentially guys like James White with a young kid, the McCourties, who obviously have vocalized their concerns and who I'd heard had been on the fence. Now a Matthew Slater saying, I'm not going to opt out. That could stem the tide that could actually hold some of these guys from going, like, if Slate's going to play, I'm going to play too.
Well, and
that could be
McCourty's
a huge that could be huge for this team, because now their greatest asset, which obviously is the secondary, the strength of the team. Now, when you run back out, Jawan Williams in place of Patrick Chung.
I would say this, though.
McCourty's and Gilmore?
So
you need that.
I understand that. But do you really think if Matthew Slater decides to play that McCourty, the McCourty twins? Because you heard, what were you saying before? Do you hear that McCourty twins are kind of on the fence?
From the guy, from where I'd heard about Bolden the other morning, that the McCourty's, from what I'd heard, that the McCourty's were heavily considering it, yes.
All right, so if we think it's foolish to think that Tom Brady, if he stayed, these guys wouldn't opt out, isn't it the same foolishness to think that if, well, Matthew Slater doesn't opt out, then I won't? Like, aren't they going to look at their own individual situation? Like, the McCourty's going to sit there and say, listen, I've made a lot of money, too. I got some stuff at home. I got my parents, my kids, I got everything else. But, oh, Matthew Slater's playing, so I'm in.
Tom Brady didn't opt out. He left as a free agent.
But,
now,
yeah,
to have his coercive powers there, like, come on, stick around. We can do it. Come on, guys, we can do it one more time. It's about honor. It's about respect.
I'm not so sure. I'm glad Slater's there because I think they missed leadership, and mm-hmm. I think they desperately need it. You lose Chung, you lose Hightower. But I think if the McCourty's are on the fence, I think they're still on the fence.
Mm.
I don't think Matthew Slater's decision changes it.
Down to the wire, though, like seeing a guy like Slater stick around, knowing that Slater and Devin McCourty were the first two guys re-signed this offseason, how important they are to the team, what kind of trust and faith Belichick puts in them as well. Belichick gave McCourty $11.5 million to stick around.
Mike Giardi agrees with you because Zach Cox of Nesson, just the headline of the article, did Matthew Slater's decision prevent a new surge of Patriot opt-outs? And Mike Giardi, NFL Network, who we know is tied in down there as well, just quote tweeted and said yes. So he believes it did.
It could.
But I kind of put it in that same crazy category, mm-hmm. thinking, well, if Brady was here, they wouldn't do it. They're all doing it based on their individual situations, and I'm not so sure Matthew Slater is going to make a difference.
As they should.
Listen, we've gone through 20 years, guys, and if you want to go back and look at all of the different guys that came and left here, okay, the only real test for this team is, can they do it without Tom Brady? Because he's been the only constant for 20 years. All of these other guys, great, great players. Willie McGinnis, Teddy, we can go through the entire list. They keep on going, and other guys come in here, take their place, and this team still is competitive. So I'm with Lou on this one. I think we overrate some of this stuff of these guys going. I'm not saying, Fitzy, that that Slater wouldn't have some impact on other players. And so that might be a factor. I don't think Brady necessarily has forces somebody to make a decision one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
But if you're McCourty and a bunch of the guys are leaving, you're sitting there going, oh, do I really want to do this now? I mean, this is, especially with what's going on at home. Does it really make that much of a difference? Haven't we overrated these five guys who were gone?
No. I don't think we've overrated them.
Why?
At all. But you can't overrate Dante Hightower. I mean, the guy's 8 years
them?
In. He's a three-time champion.
The year before, wasn't
you could
he?
Say he's almost as important as Malcolm Butler to saving Super Bowl 49. The guy's the linchpin of the defense.
Patrick Chung, and what it looks like when he gets hurt and nicked up and doesn't play.
Yeah, Chung was a step behind last year. He'd been considering retirement, and Marcus Cannon's a little banged up, obviously. The guy's a massive success story.
Does Hightower or Chung play again?
Yes. Hightower does.
Better shot of Chung.
Yeah. Hightower.
I don't know.
Now, I'm not sure of that.
But I'm saying, now you've got
Hightower's great. Guys, Hightower can do it.
You walked away from $9 million.
He's got $30 million in the
bank. It's
going
to sit there again next year if Bill still wants him. And that's the other part of it. I mean, you know, Hightower's contract, they could walk away and they could save like $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't going to cut him because they have no linebackers.
Right.
But next year, after taking a year off, you think Bill's going to sit there and say, oh, yeah, good. You know, we'll, Hightower comes back. We'll still pay him a $12.5 million cap hit.
No
I don't think so.
No way.
No, I don't think he's done.
Dan Hightower
depending
knows
on what
this.
The cap looks like, though, next year,
I still think he's done here in New England.
I do, too.
I say Chung is definitely done, especially you draft Kyle Duggar to take Chung's position. He was going to learn from Chung this year.
But why sign an extension?
Chung?
Yeah.
Because
just to lower the cap?
They came to him. He got the money up top, and it lowered the cap hit.
So gave them some, gave them, my money
as a matter of fact, Lou, it gave them the money to sign Kyle Duggar, which
did,
is more important.
So now you've got question marks at both tackles in my mind. That's why I've dropped it to, I think I'm down to 7.5.
Yeah, you started at 8.
Well, wait, where are we?
It was 7.5. It's a 7.5.
Well, if the McCourty's are out, I might even go below 7. If the McCourty's are up.
Below 7.
I might. Ooh, I mean, okay. You got
to
be kidding me, guys.
I'll drop
I mean,
mine.
We're going to be
at about 16 to 17 players on last year's team gone if the McCourty's are out. We're already at about 15.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, oh, you know what? It's Bill Belichick. No big deal. Van Noy, no problem. Jamie Collins, Hightower, Jason McCourty, Devin McCourty, Daron Harmon, Patrick Chung. But, you know, this defense is great. I mean, all they could have is Gilmore and J.C. Jackson. Okay. Like, that is it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Danny Shelton. Oh, this team should be tough to run against. Holy smokes. Now you got questions at both tackles.
Hey,
and you
listen,
have no fullback. And your running back can't run his ass off at all. Can't do anything without a fullback or blocking tight ends. But we still think this team is actually going to win. I mean, even if the McCourty's stay, you're sitting have been gutted.
Hey,
they have been gutted. If McCourty's are out, it's 6.5 wins.
Hey, where's the love for Lawrence Guy's, one of the most underrated defensive linemen in the NFL?
Player.
And
good
by
player.
The way, the best news a Pats fan could have gotten this week would have been Sony Michel has opted out for the 2020 season.
Nothing more important than this, Luke.
Would have been Damian Harris season.
Jesus, Bill, you could lose 15, 16, 17
right.
players off that team.
Wait till you.
Who's the best free agent they brought in? Oh, yeah, that's right. They really hit that free agent market. Who was it? Oh, but you know what the positive thing is?
Demir.
No,
Bird.
But there was this
Come
draft.
Come on, bro, Alan.
You know, the Patriots draft. Lou, you're forgetting about the draft.
Too,
yeah, I'm forgetting about the draft where every other team gets to draft guys and every other city right now is hyping up their draft picks like they're all going to be all pros. You did nothing to rebuild this football team. You lost all these free agents. Mm-hmm. Guys are opting out. And if the McCourty twins are out,
yeah.
I don't care if Cam Newton, Superman or not. 6.5 wins.
Oh, come on. What are the odds on the over?
You can't make an argument for 10. You really can't. If all these guys are gone, you tell me.
You haven't seen Cam Newton run one play at quarterback
Who's his
yet.
Tackles?
His tackles? There'll be Wynn and Kajuse.
Who, Wynn?
Wynn.
Oh, okay.
So he'll probably play all 16? Earlier today, by the way.
The guy with the short arms?
What?
And Kajuse. Small hands. Is he good? Is he a red shirt?
Yeah, he's another one of those red shirt guys.
Linebacker crew looks good.
Fitzy showed up today.
What are you talking about? Hey, hold on a second. We got Winovich. Well, you got Uche, you got
Winovich,
Anthony Jennings,
who
come
was
on.
Protected and just pass rushing opportunities.
John Simon,
for Clay Matthews, and you can have matching hairstyles.
Simon? Where's the love for John Simon?
Listen, John good Simon players are only good when you surround them with talent, and you can actually see them.
Oh, please.
Guys, they've lost 15 to 17 players. I'm sorry. What are you talking about?
And Lou,
and the
they
quarterback
went,
was the greatest of all time.
All they had to do was beat the friggin' Dolphins 2 days after Christmas, and they couldn't even do that.
Yeah, and now they lost 17 players that lost to the Dolphins. So how good are they now?
The 17 guys who don't want to lose to the Dolphins, maybe they'll actually be as good, if not better.
I think the McCourty's better stick around because if Devin and Jason are gone, then I think that
hurts.
Good,
Fitzy, I hate
Jesus,
to tell
I don't know how the hell you think they can win nine games.
Fitzy,
10 games.
Hurts.
Holy,
10 games.
Their opponents?
10 games. Jason McCourty
no
could probably do without, but Devin McCourty, I would say that's a problem.
Devin would be a death blow for the defense.
You mean
okay,
you
now you're finally
single,
admitting it.
So
okay,
you think
okay,
it'd be bad
good.
If you lost every line,
you down.
If you lose every linebacker and every safety on the roster, you think that's bad? Is that usually bad or is that a good thing? Is that a good thing? No.
They have the number 9 player
Duggar,
in the NFL.
They drafted Duggar and Anfernee.
That's right.
Holy smokes. Every
you guys
linebacker,
are so, you guys
every
are
safety
so upset.
You could lose.
You guys are all so butthurt over the last 3 drafts that you're not giving them any chance in hell. No belief in Belichick. No Foxborough faith, Lou.
That's a big part
I'm
of it.
I'm giving 6.5 wins out of respect for Bill.
6.5? He's not
if it was Adam Gase,
what about
I'd put him
Hoyer?
At 3.
Now
if Hoyer,
down to 6.5?
If Hoyer's your starting quarterback.
If the McCourty's are Hoyer, 1.5. Listen, if the McCourty's are gone, I would put it at 6.5. And if it was Adam Gase, I'd probably put it at 2.5 because he would lose it. But out of respect for Bill Belichick, he's the greatest coach of all time. I think he could somehow find 6-7 wins out of that team.
I put it this way. If you lose the McCourty's, then I will concede they are not the AFC East favorites anymore.
Oh my God. Like
how about
they are
that?
Now?
I still say they win the East.
Oh, no way.
Absolutely.
They're not the favorites.
Oh, Josh Allen's going to win, the most inaccurate passer in the last 20 years in the NFL?
Sure.
Lou, he couldn't hit the side of this building if he stood in front of it, and you pointed at him at it.
I mean, pass percentage, I guess last year, you know, 2 years ago, Cam was pretty good, but he hasn't really been accurate either, and he...
We got to
take a break. Ball pretty good.
We got to take a break. I feel bad for Fitzy. Fitzy came in with so
I'm
much
here
Patriot
for it.
Pride
I'm here for it.
And the whole works. He was
it's
ready to
undeterred.
Paint his face, and Lou just ripped him down to a pulp. This hour is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You have to go to work, Lou. Second job. Is Lou leaving us? Second job.
Yeah,
Lou's leaving us. See you, Lou. Have a good game tonight. Fitzy and I will be back with last call.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I know it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down,
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Great time to clean out that garage. Donate that old car to Cars for Kids. Now offering contact-free pickup. Call today, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, or online at carsforkids.com. Breaking NFL news, veteran running back LeSean McCoy has reached agreement on a one-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brady, Gronk, and Shady McCoy all together in a one-year deal. Fishy, you like that?
The Brady effect is real, my man. The Brady effect is real. I just saw Mutt over there adjusting his fantasy
championship
draft.
Yep.
Fantasy draft rankings. He just bumps Shady McCoy up to the fifth round.
You get a third down Mutt back. They can step in and play there, sure.
Mutt, can I ask what the reaction was last night when the Senate here on Beacon Hill said, we don't need this sports gambling. We have 17.5% unemployment, but we're good.
The reaction in my house was heavy drinking and depression. That's what it was. In the Manansky household, we started drinking heavily, didn't really go to bed. Made a bad Twitter video this morning.
The kids,
and,
too.
There we go. Well, the kids, they were already in bed. So
they got to learn.
Woke my wife up and said, so the Senate screwed us. They screwed us, honey. What the hell are you talking about?
If they listen to your show and they look at all of the unemployment, and with 17.5% unemployed, those people are not going to be paying taxes. They could clean up and take half of your salary every single year.
Here's the problem, Big O. One of the quotes that came out from the Senate leader was, the time is not right for legalized sports betting. No. In fact, right now is the exact perfect time for legalized sports betting. Budget deficits that are going to be in the billions, if not trillions, across the country. 18 other states have already passed it. And they'll eventually pass it. There's too much money involved here, and DraftKings being in Massachusetts helps out. But it could add it for opening day of football. They screwed it up. They want more time. They had a year to get this done. And just like they always have, Glenn, you and Fitzy know, you've lived here for a long time. This state mucks things up. That's what they did here.
It's allergic to the logical. It's allergic to the obvious. And for some reason, it stands in the face of the passion, the interest. What do fans want? Why do I want to, on Sunday morning, forget the fact that I can't make any in-game bets on my DraftKings or my FanDuel Mutt. Why do I want to have to drive over the border to place bets on
NFL
games?
Go send that money to New Hampshire, Rhode Island.
Let me give that to Sununu. Let me send that down to what's-her-name down in Rhode Island.
And Fitzy, not saying that you're a big weed head, but think about Massachusetts State. Well, maybe you are.
There's a dispensary down the street from me.
They had months to figure it out. It took like a year to get the stores open. Think about that. They legalize it forever to open.
They are making millions because there's a 20% state tax on marijuana.
I know. 20%. After great delay, they welcomed in the casinos. Yeah. And now what they're doing is they're limiting what they can do for revenue because people are going to take off to Rhode Island and Connecticut and New Hampshire. It makes no sense at all. Mutt's been right on this all along.
Thanks,
and even now, especially now, you need to do it. All right. All three of us are going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah, positive and negative on the manager to start in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes
positive?
From now. Yeah, it's like a parent. When you're a parent, you want to criticize a child. You say something good first. Like, this coloring is really good. Good job on the coloring. You spilled your food all over the floor. So it's a positive, negative. I'm going to be a parent to Ron Renneke to start the show.
All right. There you go. Red Sox, let's see if they can do it before it all falls apart in the ninth inning. Mutt coming up next. Red Sox baseball as well. Fitzy, Mutt with us tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Be here. Stay safe. Is it time to walk away? I done.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.